Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memra by Avram Goldar, and today Maseches Chulin Daf Yud Zayin, the first parak of Kol Shoychetin. The Zichu Maseches Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting Kinyan Torah to Lomdei Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three daps we're going to focus on. Number one, the Torah says that when Kol Yisrael would enter Eretz Yisrael and someone would want to eat meat, to your heart's entire desire you may eat meat. When Shmuel explained, L'ba kasuv elahatil hem basutaiva. The Pasuk only came to permit to them meat of desire, meaning without being brought as a carbon. He holds that in the Midbar, only meat of a carbon was permitted and not Basar Taiva. After entering Eretz Yisrael, Basar Taiva became permitted. Rabbi Akiva analyzes the next Pasuk, which says that when they would be far from the Mikdash in Eretz Yisrael, then you shall slaughter from your cattle and your flock as I have commanded you. Rabbi Akiva says the Pasuk only came Lasser Lehem Basar Nechira, to forbid to them meat of animals killed by piercing. He holds that in the Midbar, Nechira was sufficient to permit consumption. He holds Basar Taiva was never forbidden, and Rabbi Shmuel holds that Nechira was never permitted. Rabbi Akiva agrees that Karbanas always required proper Shechita, even in the Midbar. Also, Rabbi Shmuel agrees that Chayos, such as deer, which are not fit for Karbanas, were always permitted as Basar Taiva. Point number two, Yumri asks, what's the halacha of every basa nechira, shechnisu yisroel mehen laaretz, limbs of meat of animals killed through piercing, which Jews brought with them into Eretz Yisrael from the Midbar? Did it remain permitted since it was killed when this was a valid method of shechita, or was it prohibited since full shechita was required upon entering Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara objects to the question. If the question related to the 7 years of conquering Eretz Yisrael, Hashadavar Tami Ishtri Elohu, if even non-kosher food was permitted to them, as the Pasuk says, Ubati Meleim Kotuv, and houses full of good things you will eat, which Rav interpreted to mean Kasli de Chazire, bacon, then obviously Basar Nechira was permitted. The Gemara first answers that the question relates to after they finished conquering Eretz Yisrael. Alternatively, the question is relevant during the conquest as well, because the permit for non-kosher food only applied to Shlal Shel Ovdei Kochavim, spoils taken from the idolaters, not food they brought with them, such as Basar Nechira. The question is left unresolved. And point number three, the Gemara discusses pegimos, notches, and knives, beginning with the rule Kamagera Shaninu. We have learned that notches, like a saw, disqualify a knife. It proceeds to detail distinctions between the number, form, and location of pegimos and how the shechita was performed. A knife must obviously be examined to ensure a valid shechita. The knife must be shown to a chacham to examine, and Rabbi Yochanan said, they only said to show the knife to a chacham because of the chacham's honor. This is clearly mid the Rabbanan, and although Rav Chisa quoted a pasuk as a source, it's a mere asmachta. The Gemara quotes practices of examining a knife in the sun, in water by examining the resulting ripples, with the tip of one's tongue, or with a strand of hair. In Surah, they said, Bisra akhla, bisra liftaka. A knife cuts flesh, with flesh one should examine it, meaning only flesh can properly test a knife for nicks. Rapapa says, Sricha bidika bisra tufra batosa ruchasa. A knife requires examination on flesh and on a fingernail and on all three sides of the knife, meaning the two sides and the cutting edge. Several other Amoraim are quoted, some of whom did not require checking the two sides. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Torah says that when Kol Yisrael would enter Eretz Yisrael and someone would want to eat meat, to your heart's entire desire you may eat meat. When Shmuel explained, L'ba kasuv elahatil hem basar taiva, the Pasuk only came to permit to them meat of desire, meaning without being brought as a carbon. He holds that in the Midbar, only meat of a carbon was permitted and not basar taiva. After entering Eretz Yisrael, basar taiva became permitted. Rabbi Akiva analyzes the next pasuk, which says that when they would be far from the Mikdash in Eretz Yisrael, then you shall slaughter from your cattle and your flock as I have commanded you. Rabbi Akiva says the pasuk only came Lasser Lehem Basar Nechira, to forbid to them meat of animals killed by piercing. He holds that in the Midbar, Nechira was sufficient to permit consumption. He holds Basar Taiva was never forbidden, and Rabbi Shmuel holds that Nechira was never permitted. Rabbi Akiva agrees that Karbanas always required proper Shechita, even in the Midbar. Also, Rabbi Shmuel agrees that chayos, such as deer, which are not fit for karbanos, were always permitted as basar taiva. Point number two, Yumri asks, what's the halacha of every basar nechira, shechnisu yisroel mehen laaretz, limbs of meat of animals killed through piercing, which Jews brought with them into Eretz Yisrael from the Midbar? Did it remain permitted since it was killed when this was a valid method of shechita, or was it prohibited since full shechita was required upon entering Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara objects to the question. If the question related to the 7 years of conquering Eretz Yisrael, Hashadavar Tami Ishtri Elohu, if even non-kosher food was permitted to them, as the Pasuk says, Ubati Meleim Kotuv, and houses full of good things you will eat, which Rav interpreted to mean Kasli de Chazire, bacon, then obviously Basar Nechira was permitted. The Gemara first answers that the question relates to after they finish conquering Eretz Yisrael. Alternatively, the question is relevant during the conquest as well, because the permit for non-kosher food only applied to Shlal Shel Ovdei Kochavim, spoils taken from the idolaters, not food they brought with them, such as Basar Nechira. The question is left unresolved. And point number three, the Gemara discusses pegimos, notches, and knives, beginning with the rule Kamagera Shaninu. We have learned that notches, like a saw, disqualify knife. It proceeds to detail distinctions between the number, form, and location of pegimos, and how the shechita was performed. A knife must obviously be examined to ensure a valid shechita. The knife must be shown to a chacham to examine, and Rabbi Yochanan said, they only said to show the knife to a chacham because of the chacham's honor. This is clearly made the Rabbanan, and although Rav Chisa quoted a pasuk as a source, it's a mere asmachta. The Gemara quotes practices of examining a knife in the sun, in water, by examining the resulting ripples, with the tip of one's tongue, or with a strand of hair. In Surah, they said, Bisra achla, bisra livtaka. A knife cuts flesh, with flesh one should examine it, meaning only flesh can properly test a knife for nicks. Rapapa says, Sricha bedika bisra tufra, batosa ruchasa. A knife requires examination on flesh and on a fingernail and on all three sides of the knife, meaning the two sides and the cutting edge. Several other Amoraim are quoted, some of whom did not require checking the two sides. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Yud Zayin, and our standard Siman is a used car. A used car. So here goes. Upon entering Eretz Yisrael, some enterprising young men went to the used car lot to find a refrigerated bus or taiva truck to transport only shechted meat, and an army jeep with a bacon logo to collect from the spoils of war, along with a good old-fashioned knife sharpening truck for the chacham who checks knives with his tongue and fingernail. Once again, slow motion. Upon entering Eretz Yisrael, some enterprising young men went to the used car lot. Used car? That must be more daf Yud Zayin. Upon entering Eretz Yisrael, some enterprising young men went to the used car lot to find a refrigerated bus or taiva truck to transport only shechted meat, which reminds us we learned that in the Midbar, meat of Nechir was permitted or bus or taiva was forbidden. So upon entering Eretz Yisrael, some enterprising young men went to the used car lot to find a refrigerated bus or taiva truck to transport only shechted meat and an army jeep with a bacon logo to collect from the spoils of war, which reminds us we learned that it was permitted to eat non-kosher food during the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. As the pasuk says, "Ubatim leim kol tuv," and houses full of good things you will eat, which Rav interpreted to mean kasli de chazire, bacon. So, upon entering Eretz Yisrael, some enterprising young men went to the used car lot to find a refrigerated bus or taiva truck to transport only shechted meat and an army jeep with a bacon logo to collect from the spoils of war, along with a good old-fashioned knife sharpening truck for the chacham who checks knives with his tongue and fingernail, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses pigimos, the notches in a socking, and bedika socking, the examination of the knife, which can be done in a number of ways, such as with the tongue or fingernail. So once again, upon entering Eretz Yisrael, some enterprising young men went to the used car lot to find a refrigerated bus or taiva truck to transport only shechted meat and an army jeep with a bacon logo to collect from the spoils of war, along with a good old-fashioned knife sharpening truck for the chacham who checks knives with his tongue and fingernail. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf Yud Gimel. So the simmer Daf Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. While the bar mitzvah boy, that must be more on Daf Yud Gimel. While the bar mitzvah boy was giving his pshetel, his younger brother snuck out and went to the roof to turn over the produce that had dew on it, making it susceptible to tumah, which reminds us, a katan who brought a produce onto the roof does not subject it to tumah, even if he intended it to be wet, because a katan's intent is ineffective. Rabbi Yochanan added that, hipach behen, if he turned the produce over once it was wet, it is susceptible to tumah, since his intent is apparent from his action. So while the bar mitzvah boy was giving his pshetel, his younger brother snuck out and went onto the roof to turn over the produce that had dew on it, making it susceptible to tumah, and found a goy shechting there who shechit his mutter banah, because in chutz la'aretz, goyim aren't assumed to be idol worshippers, which reminds us, Gemara discusses if shechit of an akum is mutter banah and not assumed to be for idolatry. Rabbi Baravua answers, Ein rov ovdei kochavim minim. Most Gentiles are not minim. He holds like Rabbi Yochanan, who said that Gentiles outside Eretz Yisrael are not sincere idol worshippers. El minhag avosein biyadein. Rather, it's merely the practice of their ancestors in their hands. So the bar mitzvah boy was giving his pshetel, his younger brother snuck out and went to the roof to turn over the produce that had dew on it, making it susceptible to tumah, and found a goy shechting there whose shechita is mutter banah, because in chutz la'aretz goyim aren't assumed to be idol worshippers, next to a yid shechting at night and in the dark, which is kosher, b'di'evad, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hashoicha b'layla, if one shechs at night, the kenasuma shechachat, and similarly, if a blind person shechs, the shechita is valid. The Mishnah's language implies that shechita at night is only valid b'di'evad after the fact, but not permitted l'chadchila, since he can't see if he's cut both simanim. The Gemara clarifies that the Mishnah's case is when it was dark, as opposed to when a torch was lit near him, in which case it is mutter l'chadchila. Daf Yudal. So the siman Daf Yudal is Yud, and we use a juggler for the siman. So here goes. The juggler, that must mean we're on Daf Yudal. The juggler performing at a Sheva Sheva Brachas, who was so distraught when the caterer announced that a guest shechted a cow, and the meat couldn't be served until the Malava Malka, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hashoich b'Shabbos of Yom Kippurim, if one shechs an animal on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, even though he becomes liable with his life, whether it's Mises Basin or Karas, Shchitas Kasher, his Shchita is still valid, and the meat may be eaten. Rapuna quoted in Rav's name that although the Shchita is valid, Asur Bechil Yoma, it's forbidden consumption for that day, meaning it's prohibited until after Shabbos. And the colleagues in the yeshiva thought to say, in explanation of Rav's statement, that the Mishnah's Rabbi Yehuda, who would forbid eating the meat on Shabbos itself. The Gemara embarks on a lengthy search to identify the relevant ruling of Rabbi Yehuda and why the meat is forbidden on Shabbos. So the juggler performing at a Shabbos Sheva Brachas, who was so distraught when the caterer announced that a guest shechted a cow and the meat couldn't be served until the Malava Malka, that he dropped his knives on a sheep, making it nevela, yet prohibited to cut up for the dogs, which reminds us, Rabbi Abba suggests that it refers to Rabbi Yehuda's ruling about halchana, preparation, items lacking preparation for Shabbos. A Mishnah teaches that one may cut up a nevela on Shabbos for dogs to eat, but Rabbi Yehuda says if it was not already a nevela before Shabbos, it's prohibited, lefi she'eino mina muchan, because it was not something prepared for Shabbos use and is muksa. Here too, an animal which was shechted on Shabbos was not prepared the day before for Shabbos use and is muksa. Abai rejects the comparison. So the juggler performing at a Shabbos Sheva Brachas was so distraught when the caterer announced that a guest shechted a cow and the meat couldn't be served until the Malava Malka, that he dropped his knives on a sheep, making it nevela, yet prohibited to cut up for the dogs, then broke some teacups he was juggling, which couldn't be moved since they couldn't be used, made Malachtam, which reminds us, Rabbi Yosef suggests, it refers to Rabbi Yehuda's ruling about kelim. A Mishnah teaches that any kelim which are not muksa, which broke for Shabbos, shivrei nitalin, the fragments may also be moved, provided they're fit to perform me'in malacha, some sort of task, even if it's different from the original kli's function, for example, using pieces of a mixing bowl to cover a barrel. However, Rabbi Yehuda says the fragments may only be moved if they can perform functions me'in malachtan, similar to their original task, meaning using pieces of a mixing bowl for containing porridge poured into them. Since the shechted animal is not formerly usable as food, it's likewise muksa. Abai rejects the comparison. Daf Tezvav, so the siman Daf Tezvav relates to Tu Bishvat, and we use a fruit bowl to make the siman more distinct. So here goes. The men use a fruit bowl. Fruit bowl? That must mean we're on Daf Tezvav. Tu Bishvat, fruit. Fruit bowl. The man who used a fruit bowl to cook fruit soup on Shabbos b'shogeg and was told that he would have to wait until after Shabbos to eat it, which reminds the Gemara brings about halachos when food cooked on Shabbos is forbidden to eat and to whom it's forbidden. So the man used a fruit bowl to cook fruit soup on Shabbos b'shogeg and was told that he would have to wait until after Shabbos to eat it. And a man who cooked in a fruit bowl for a chol on Shabbos and was told that the food is forbidden for healthy people, which reminds us, we discuss a healthy person eating food which was shechted or cooked for a chol on Shabbos. So the man used a fruit bowl to cook fruit soup on Shabbos b'shogeg and was told that he would have to wait until after Shabbos to eat it. And a man who cooked in a fruit bowl for a chol on Shabbos and was told that the food is forbidden for healthy people were startled when a man smashed a glass fruit bowl to use a shard for shechita, which reminds us the Gemara discusses shechting with other implements such as a hand sickle, sharp rock, reed, or glass. Daf Tezayin, so the siman Daf Tezayin is toes, and we use an acrobat with large toes. So here goes. The acrobat with large toes. Acrobat with large toes? That must mean we're on Daf Tezayin. The acrobat with large toes who jumped on a water wheel with a knife attached, using the koach rishon to shecht a cow, which reminds us the Gemara discusses shechting using the force of water in a water wheel, and we distinguish between koach rishon and koach sheni. So the acrobat with large toes who jumped on a water wheel with a knife attached, using the koach rishon to shecht a cow, and then somersaulted over a wall where a plate was placed to get rinsed from the rain with droplets bouncing off onto produce below, which reminds us, Rava says, le'inyan heksher zraim, regarding produce's susceptibility to tuma, it's a malchok sinaim if tosh ubasov chibro, something that was detached, that was later attached, is considered mechuber. A Mishnah states that if one overturned a plate onto a wall, so the plate should be rinsed by the rain, which then dripped onto produce, the produce is makabel tumah since the plate is detached. If the plate was placed there to protect the wall from the rain, the produce is not makabel tumah since he's not pleased with the rainfall. These two cases have contradictory implications regarding intent to rinse the wall, and Rabbi Elazar explains that the two cases reflect a machlokes tanaim if a wall is considered attached. So the acrobat with large toes who jumped on a water wheel with a knife attached, using the koach rishon to shecht a cow, and then somersaulted over a wall where a plate was placed to get rinsed from the rain with droplets bouncing off onto produce below, was about to land near a knife stuck in the wall that was used to shecht, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses shechting with something, talush b'sof chibro. Although a braisa teaches that not saki mikosa, if one stuck a knife into a wall and shecht it with it, the shechita is valid, shani saking de l'mevatale, a knife is different because one doesn't nullify it there, meaning he doesn't intend for it to remain there permanently. So it's definitely not considered attached to the ground. Shmuel said that such a shechita is only valid shasakin l'mal of itself or behema l'mata, where the knife was above and the animal's neck was below it. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Which daf do you in the katanim yesh lehen maisa ve'en lehen machshava? That's on daf Yudbeis. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you discuss if in the midbar basar taiva was forbidden or meat of nechira, piercing, was permitted? That's on daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you discuss what the din is in a case where a plate was put onto a wall so it should be rinsed by the rain and then the rain dripped onto produce? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you discuss heka the efsher, perhaps where it's possible to avoid relying on rov, it's possible and we do not rely on it? That's on daf Yudav. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we discuss the case where a katan turned over produce, which he brought up to the roof, making it susceptible to tumah? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that it was permitted to eat non-kosher food during the conquest of Eretz Yisrael? That's on daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we discuss a healthy person eating food which was shechted or cooked for a chola on Shabbos? That's on daf Tezvav. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you discuss shechting using the force of water with a water wheel, and we distinguish between koach rishon and koach sheni? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have a machos regarding when food cooked on Shabbos is forbidden to eat? That's on daf Tezvav. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we learn about pegimos and a sakin and the different ways a knife could be examined? That's on daf Yud Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.